Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back, Jeffersonians.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. This is the Jefferson State of Mind. It's a great state of mind.
Beautiful day.
It is. It's another day in paradise. And it's not even that smoky.
Not quite chilly, but it wasn't exactly hot. So yeah. we're getting there.
Thank God. It's about time.
Eating the soup and wearing the sweatshirts is working.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although, unfortunately, if you have a crock book at home, do not make cheesy tavern soup. It's disgusting.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
I will write that down and file yes. a feature reference.
Well, you mentioned soup, and I made a soup this week, and we ended up eating fresh bread for dinner and water. So it was that bad. I wouldn't even force Jeff to eat it. So
wow.
Yeah, it was bad. So cheesy tavern soup. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Got it.
Our signer segment today is brought to you by the Jefferson State Store.
It is, where you go to www.jeffersonstatestore.com, get your State of Jefferson gear. They have things that you won't find anywhere else.
They've
got great hats, they've got pins, they've got flags, they've got all kinds of good stuff.
Lots of fun stuff. Stuff you can put on your car, stuff that you put on your body, stuff that you put on your backpacks.
Yeah.
So
State of Jefferson license plate holders.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tons of stuff. So if you want to be a walking billboard, go to Jefferson State Store, and they have everything that you need, and you can personalize it. It's so much fun. So they are bringing us our signer segment today. And, of course, every week we highlight one of our signers of the Declaration of Independence. And today we're going to be talking about a gentleman named Francis Lightfoot Lee.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I know this guy.
Yes. Some family history of Francis is that his brother Richard Henry Lee also signed the Declaration of Independence. And we'll be talking about Richard in the next month or two. But there's another famous Lee out there by the name of General Robert E. Lee, who, of course, fought for the Confederacy and is among the most esteemed generals in American history. Now, Robert E. Lee's father was Henry Lee III, and, of course, Henry Lee III was also known as Light Horse Harry Lee, and he served under distinction with General George Washington during the American Revolution. Henry Lee III's, who was Robert E. Lee's father, was the son of Henry Lee II, who was a Justice of the Peace, as well as an elected member of the House of Burgesses, among other things. He was son of Henry Lee I, whose brother was Thomas Lee, who was also a member of the House of Burgesses and the governor of Virginia at one point. Now, Francis Lightfoot Lee was a son of Thomas Lee. So Francis Lightfoot Lee would have been Robert E. Lee's grandfather's cousin.
Mm, everybody got that?
Yes. Yeah, everybody got that? We're all good? Should I go through it again?
It's a Virginia thing.
It's a Virginia thing. But don't you just love genealogies? Isn't that just...
It is.
I mean, that's cool.
Once you dig into it, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, seeing how everybody's connected.
Yeah.
And of course, Jefferson Davis is involved in that family tree as well because he married into the Knox Taylors, who, of course, mm-hmm. were related to the old Lees and all that.
It's a Virginia thing.
It's a Virginia thing, yeah. But back to Francis. Francis was born October the 14th, 1734 in Westmoreland, Virginia. And he was educated at home by a man named Dr. Craig. Essentially, Francis's education consisted of learning how to be an enlightened country gentleman. That's the exact phrasing that they used on almost everything. He was elected to the House of Burgesses in 1758 when he was 24 years old, and he would serve until 1775. It is stated that he was a noted radical and on the side of Patrick Henry in opposing the Stamp Act. Lee was also part of the group that called for a Congress and a Virginia Convention in 1774. So he was one of those... warmongers.
So opposing taxes makes you a radical?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I guess I'm labeled.
He attended both of those conventions and then was sent on to the First Continental Congress where he signed the Declaration of Independence at 41. So we're up in the ancients now.
Yeah.
All right. He continued to represent his state in the Continental Congresses until 1779, and it said that he worked on many committees, though I wasn't able to dig far enough into his history to really extrapolate those. In 1779, he retired from Congress and returned home, where he then served in the Virginia Senate until he retired back to his private life and died January 11th, 1797, at the age of 62.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, my actual first relative that we've found was in Virginia, 1638.
Yep. A lot of people came into Virginia.
Yeah, Jamestown.
Yep.
So, yeah, a lot of history back there. A lot of family connections.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I traced my husband's family back to Virginia, and my family, of course, was in Virginia and all along the coast and everything, but...
Yeah, well, it's funny. One half of my family, Massachusetts, the other half, Virginia.
Oh, wow. For how long?
Massachusetts, I'm not sure. Okay. We've got them immigrating from England in the late 1800s.
Oh, okay,
But I don't know how long, because we actually have relatives in Massachusetts that fought in the Revolution, but we haven't been able to track when and where they came in.
Ah.
So...
Yeah, that's the sticky wicket of it, is even if, like with my husband's family, that we get back to Virginia and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, they were like, oh, well, we're maybe the family from Germany that came up from Germany. And I was like, okay, well, I'll research that. Didn't find anything. And so I did a little more research and I go, I think you guys were from Ireland. I think you were from up in that area. And you actually came down through Massachusetts and through Plymouth and all that. And you came down into Virginia. I don't think you landed in Virginia.
Well,
so,
see, it's funny. It's interesting. My one half of the family is Massachusetts English and Scotch, and then the other half is Virginia Irish. And people are like,
no.
You people are dysfunctional. No, we've just been arguing for a long, long time.
That is funny.
So.
Yeah, you got to – well, we'll get into the Scotch-Irish and all that here because of what's been going on in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
But before we hit a break, I do want to make sure that we get this out. We have tickets for the Speedway Short Track Motorcycle Racing tonight
at 6
at 6 p.m.
We got 8 of them free to our callers here.
We do. So if you call in at 605-4567, we will mark these tickets for you so you can head down and check out some motorcycle racing at the Reading Rodeo Arena.
Yeah.
So we have tickets. Call in. You know you want to go.
Yeah. You know Shasta County's changed when you can't give away free motorcycle race tickets.
Yeah.
There's something wrong there.
Let's prove Red wrong. Shasta County hasn't changed.
And there's a call.
Nice. All right. Let's see. What's going on in Jefferson?
Well, that's going to take a minute. We should probably grab that after the break. But
well, it looks like
we've been
2.5 minutes left.
Really, really busy.
We have.
So.
Maybe, you know what I'll do? I'll go ahead and talk about the first annual State of Jefferson Sporting Clay Tournament.
Yes. That is going to be a blast.
Literally. So for those of you who are unaware, November 15th, okay, that's a Saturday, November 15th. Sign up is at 8 a.m. Shooting is at 9. Lunch is included for all shooters. And awards and lunch are going to be served at 1 p.m. This is going to be at the Clear Creek Sports Club at the Rolling Hills Casino, I-5 in Liberal Avenue. I can speak English today. Down in Corning. $100 per shooter includes the clays and lunch, $20 for lunch for any non-shooter, and the award ceremony and tri-tip lunch, guys.
Yeah.
Tri-tip at a casino. Okay, these are really good tri-tips.
Tri-tip and clay shooting.
And clay shooting, so, you know, food and entertainment. Again, November 15th at 8 a.m. for signups, 9 a.m. for shooting, and all of this is to fundraise.
And where can they sign up?
For the state of Jefferson. RSVP and deposit online by October the 30th at jeffersondeclaration.net, it looks like. Or you can email Karen Knorr at KKNORR at KNORRconsultinggroup.com. Yeah. Or you can call 530-824-6458.
I'm more interested to find out who thinks they're the best shooter in Jefferson.
You know... That would be interesting.
I think there's going to be some side action going on.
Yeah,
some bets going on
in the alleyway.
Yeah, we've got one guy down in Placer County. His daughter shoots competition skeet, and the word on the street is she's pretty good.
All right, Jen, so are you gonna be stood up by a girl?
They might.
That's the question: is a woman going to be the best shooter in Jefferson? I'm just saying, saying.
You know, up here though, it wouldn't be all that strange.
It wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
So, well, we better get off to our first break.
We should. If you want to find out any more information on the clay tournament or anything else, call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. Is that the reason why you're running so fast? She said, nothing gonna break up my style.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Erin Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to the Cajun Hideaway.
Welcome back, State of Jefferson.
I wanted to listen to that more.
I know, it's kind of hard not to just let that song play.
Oh, I love Alabama.
You know what? As a matter of fact, forget it. I'm out of here. I'm going fishing. I hear that song. I'm done.
I was just about to comment on how every time I hear music like that, I always think of driving to a Civil War reenactment.
Yeah, it's a Virginia thing.
It's a Virginia thing. That's the theme of today's show. It's a Virginia thing. But speaking of Civil War reenactments, I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah, you're going to be out at Hawes shooting at people?
Yes, I'll be shooting at Yankees and Confederates alike. I don't know which side I'll be on yet. So I'm going to be out there for all of you. I expect to see you out there after the radio show because camps don't even open till 9.
Yeah.
So you're going to listen to this show from 8 to 9, and you're going to come visit me at the Civil War reenactment out at Hawes. Bring your kids, bring your parents, bring your cousins, your brothers, sisters, and your neighbors. It's so much fun. We're going to have 30 mounted cavalrymen.
Really?
That's 30 men, 30 horses. Giddy
yeah,
up, cowboy.
Would that be Mark Baird's cavalry unit?
His and others.
Nice.
We're going to have tons. I think there's supposed to be like 10 cannon,
Mark's
and a whole bunch of other stuff.
With the cavalry this week coming up the Sierras in a wagon train.
I heard about that.
They're smuggling Liberty back into California.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's an awesome phrase. So I won't be here next week. It will just be Red and possibly a guest. We'll see.
Yeah, I might dig somebody up.
Dig somebody up.
Yeah. Just grab some random guy off the street and go, hey, what do you think, dude?
You know, ironically, that might be the most educated thing that we
it might
hear
be.
On this radio show. It's amazing when you actually talk to people, what they have to say.
Yeah. It's fascinating, the people that are in the know and the people that aren't.
Like the Wretched Flashlight. I'm not sure which side they usually fall on, but for example...
I really don't like it when you blaspheme in my presence.
Blaspheme. But truly, I mean, I'm reading the paper this morning, and I finally canceled my subscription. So this is one of the last papers that I'll be pulling from the Wretched Flashlight.
Everybody needs to be switching to the Shasta Lantern.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. But the highlight on the Northern California page says, Shasta County's jobless rate dropping. How exciting for Shasta County. Well, the small print.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember, you got to read the fine print. We're in America today.
Yeah.
At same time, labor force is also shrinking.
Wow, so the jobless rate is dropping because the jobless are disappearing.
Yes, but at the same time, the population of Shasta County is continuing to go up, and even the person interviewed for this said, our population has not shrunk, so maybe people have returned to school, or essentially dropped out of the labor force.
Oh, so actually the jobless are not disappearing. We're just not counting them anymore.
We're just not counting. That U6 number we always talk about. Yeah, that one. But the thing that really just got my hackles up, right? All of the job gains in August were in government, as the county's private sector shed an estimated 100 jobs over the last month. Okay, so all of our job gains were in government.
Are going to be a drain upon the population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's a great thing. Don't we just love when our government gets bigger?
Yeah. As we get smaller.
And we know it wasn't in law enforcement because only one person was hired in law enforcement.
What do we actually do when there's more people in government than there are private citizens? Because we're looking at that in California.
Kind of sounds like the Soviet Union, actually.
Well, that's in California, we have more people on government assistance, working for the government or on government retirement, than we have in the private sector.
Yeah.
So, I mean, technically in California, our government is bigger than the amount of citizens that we have.
Yeah.
I don't know. How's that working for us?
Well, I do believe that the debt clock did almost get to like $427 billion now.
Wow.
I can check that, actually. Let's see what it is.
I wonder I'm surprised that thing hasn't broken.
Well, it might be. Now that California knows we continually use this information,
they might just break it.
They might be breaking
it. So, for those of you that don't know, Tuesday, Jerry Brown signed three bills for groundwater regulation. And what that's going to do for jobs in our agriculture. Now, I see the paper that shall not be named also did a story on that saying, oh, this isn't as bad as it looks and it's not that big a deal. I don't think they've ever run into a law or legislation out of Sacramento that they don't like. I mean, here we are on the Titanic.
Well, that's because they haven't passed any that, you know, cut their pay or their pensions or anything.
Yeah.
You know, anything that actually affects them.
And some truth about groundwater regulation. What does it mean? Nobody's actually sure because it doesn't say in the legislation.
Yeah.
All it says in the legislation is that the local water districts have to create a regulation plan.
Within 2 years. And implement within 5.
And implement it within 5. And they have to do monitoring and they have to do regulation and they have to pay for their own enforcement of that regulation, whatever it may be. And if the state doesn't like how you're doing it, they can come in and commit a hostile takeover and take over your water board.
But you don't need to be worried because the state would never do anything to harm you.
Never. Nor would they take anything over.
Or invade your personal property rights or anything like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, it is an invasion of personal property rights because they're going to come onto your land. They're going to force you to put a monitoring device on your well. You're going to be made to maintain and pay for maintaining that monitoring device.
Yep.
And if they so decide that they want to charge you, they can.
And it depends on the district you're in. The district decides how much you're going to be charged for your own water.
Yeah. How many different water districts are there just in Shasta County?
Yeah.
So you could be over here and they don't charge you anything, and then you can move a couple miles away to a different water district and they could charge you, say, 50 cents a gallon if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows. I mean, this is Prop 215 for water. Here's the state making something legal or mandating something and going, okay, we're not going to pay for it. We're not going to give you any guidelines for enforcement. You figure it out. You know, it's the same thing they did with AB 109.
Yeah.
And for the people to say that this is not insidious and that this is not a seizure of property rights.
Oh, it is.
It's irresponsible.
Well, the thing that I hear the most is, well, California was the last state to have groundwater pump as you please. Okay, so California was the last state that actually respected property rights.
Well, a lot of it has to go back to riparian water rights.
There you go. History.
History.
That history bit that nobody seems to remember or think about. And it's like what I started talking about back at the end of August with, if you want to know who you are, you got to know where you've been. Because if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. And here in California, we keep forgetting the importance of history.
Yeah. What part is not understood that is private water?
Yeah.
Okay. The true gold of California is its water. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, the valley withers. California's economy withers.
Yep.
They're doing their best to try and choke the life out of now. our farmers are getting cease and desist orders on irrigation.
Yep.
Those that are fortunate enough to have wells are doing okay. And now the state's coming after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's irresponsible and negligent to say that this is not a big deal.
And if you think it won't affect you, well, I'm not on a well. You know, and I'm not. I live in city limits. I'm not on a well. Okay? Yeah. But I eat food.
Yeah.
And so does my husband. So does my kid. And so does Robert's family. In fact, I'm pretty sure everybody in this room right now. Savannah, do you eat food?
Yes.
Yes. Savannah eats food too. So we're all going to be affected by wells.
Yeah.
Because if the farmers are being charged for their water...
Mm-hmm.
And the ranchers are being charged for their water.
Their water.
Do you think, their water. Are they going to eat all the cost of that? Or are they going to push it off to the consumer?
It's going to be passed on to us.
Because I didn't get a business major in college, but I do understand basic economics.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't anymore.
That's true.
And
it's unfortunately very true.
It is. It's absolutely insidious.
Yeah.
And for a quote-unquote news agency to sit there and report, oh, this is not really that big deal. It's just a bunch of hoopleheads all upset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're upset because it's seizure of property rights. It's seizure of water rights. It is the government further invading every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
It is another law out of California that is pointed exclusively at rural people. And it is irresponsible and negligent of anybody to say otherwise.
And that's where we have a really good sheriff. He was at the the Tea Party meeting on Monday, and that was a very lively meeting. But he was asked point blank if this law, because at that time the law hadn't passed. It was still on Governor Brown's desk.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked point blank, will you enforce this law? Will you go out with these people who are going to put the meters on your wells? Will you protect them? And he kind of went,
it won't be my agency.
I'm not sending my boys out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the deputies, most of them live on wells.
Yeah.
They're not putting meters on them. Are you kidding me?
Well, I know of certain people that have said, this is absolutely my line. You try to show up at my land and force me to put a meter on my well, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
I've heard people that I find credible say that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... I don't know. It's ugly, and it's getting uglier, and it's getting uglier, yet our elected officials want to just sit back and stick their head in their sand.
Dilly Dally sent that pamphlet around a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to fill it out, and I was going to send it in, and I went, no matter what I tell him, it doesn't matter anyway.
Well, he did actually, at the end, at the midnight hour, oppose these bills.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that somebody... probably put pressure on him, or he realized that he's not going to get elected in 2 years.
Yeah, because he was up here promoting it pretty heavily. I was at Palisadro when he goes, I support groundwater regulation. And everybody in the crowd just kind of went, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the little light bulb clicked on that he doesn't
kowtow
to city folk. He kowtows to us because we're the ones who elect him.
So, but I will give him credit for standing up against these bills at the end.
Yes.
You know.
It's better to learn late that you were wrong than to not learn at all.
That's true. And, you know, how much more can we take?
Unfortunately, we can take a lot more. The question is, how much more will we allow them to take?
I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got Putz de Leon's ghost gun legislation sitting down there, too.
Yeah.
Can you believe
that? Ghost gun. I always think of that YouTube video.
Yeah.
Ghost gun magazine clip.
Yeah.
These are not interchangeable words.
Yeah.
So,
this guy's going to be the president pro tem of our Senate. Okay. How do you trust somebody that can't even pick a good wig? It looks like there's a muskrat eating this guy's head. And you're going to trust him to run the Senate of the state. I mean, the guy's, if you've ever listened to him speak, he's an idiot.
Well, yes. I mean, I've never listened to him speak. I just read what he puts out and I know he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Better be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yeah,
you know what we should do, though? For Christmas, we should send them, you know, those old English wigs with the stupid white curls.
That would be awesome.
Just send it to all of them.
That's
Here,
a good idea.
This
Here
will
you
help
go.
With your persona.
Yeah, with some powder.
Yes.
And they can get all powdered up and put the fake little mole on.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be, That would be great.
I wasn't going to think of that part, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, here you go.
Oh, man.
All right, we got to get off to another break.
We do. But again, we still have four tickets left for that motorcycle racing. These are originally $12 tickets apiece. So if you want to take your family down to the Reading Rodeo Arena tonight at 6 p.m., we have four tickets. Call in.
$50 value.
Yeah.
Free night at the race is something to do.
Amen to that. Call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at KCNR1460.com.
Now remember, when things look bad, and it looks like you're not going to make it, then you got to get mean. I mean plumb mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is.
Hey, football fans, Nate Abarea here. We've got a dandy for you this Friday night right here on KCNR 1460 as the undefeated Shasta Wolves head down to Cottonwood to take on the undefeated West Valley Eagles. Both teams at 3-0 and only one will walk out unbeaten when all's said and done this Friday night. Join my broadcast buddy Denny Brugman and I live from Cottonwood at 7:05 for the pregame kickoff at 7:30. It's the Shasta Wolves and the West Valley Eagles on the North State's radio home for high school football, KCNR 1460.
Shasta County Republican Central Committee invites you to Politics in the Park. Thursday, September 25th, social hour begins at 5 and dinner at 6 at the Anderson River Park. Dinner is barbecue tri-tip and chicken. Have fun with us as we have a meet and greet with our Republican representatives and our candidates. Tickets are $25 per person and $10 for children under 10. Call 222-5867 or check us out at ShastaGOP.org. Meet your representatives, ask questions, get answers.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir! I'm pure and natural, sir!
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, Drips, so Drops, you've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir!
Mount Shasta Springwater, pure and simple, naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Faced with a floundering writing career, Sidney receives an unsolicited script of a thriller that he instantly recognizes as a hit, and he will do anything to improve his fortunes. And so begins a twisting, turning roller coaster tale that will leave you gasping. The Riverfront Playhouse presents Ira Levin's Death Trap, now playing through October 11th. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office or by calling 243-8877. Death Trap. Go ahead, scream a little. It's good for you.
Welcome back, State of Jefferson. So, we want to get on with updating you what we've been up to. Last week, I wasn't able to be here. The mouse wasn't able to be here.
Nope.
I was down for two town halls in Placer County that were very well received, went very well. We did one in Lincoln, and we did one in Roseville, and had a couple hundred people between the two of them.
Nice.
And went really well. It was kind of weird because it wasn't that typical kind of first look at a county where people are asking, you know, the basic questions. How do we afford this? How do we do this? How do we do that? Most of these people were already informed up until that point.
Oh, so you got some good answers.
We got some good questions and we got some good answers and people that are starting to understand this. And the message is really starting to get out there.
Good.
People are understanding it. And that is fantastic to see that really the only people left that are missing the boat are our elected officials and the media.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the media is starting to come around. And, you know, we
Not local media, but, you know, Germany, Japan, the UK.
No, the local media is on the right side of this. The Shasta Lantern's all over
it. Shameless plug.
We the people, Sovereign Minds, Jefferson State of Mind, we're on the right side of this. As far as I'm concerned, there is no other media in this
country. I'm trying to think. Paul Preston calls this the alternative media?
Yes.
Is that the phrase he uses?
I think so.
Not mainstream, but the alternative media?
Yeah. Yeah. There's too much stuff floating in the mainstream.
Ugh.
So, but it did, and it is very good and heartening to see that the message is starting to get out there. People are understanding that we're really about restoring representation.
Mm-hmm.
We want our voice back. And it's very rare that we run into people, and we do run into a couple, that say, I like things the way they are. I want a democracy. Democracy's good. So,
democracy's good.
It is, and democracy's
not good. Democracy makes me shudder.
It does. You know, People's Democratic Republic of China. People's Democratic Republic of North Korea. Yes, democracy's fantastic. It is. It's good stuff. I'm telling you. So anyways, we were down there, and we got a very educated crowd. And Placer County is a very interesting county because they have a very large mix of urban and rural people.
Yeah.
And they have different beefs. Mm-hmm. But the thing that they all agree on is they're all mad at Sacramento.
Yeah.
So, because Sacramento is out to get everybody. They really are. Everything they're doing is harming everybody. So we're looking at some good positive movement in Placer. They're getting on board. Let's see what else we have going on. We've got three counties that we think are on the cusp of joining us.
Excellent.
It is. It's fantastic.
Yes. It's about time we get another one in there.
We're tentatively looking at October 4th at Trinity Center and Trinity Counter in Trinity County.
And I still got you.
That town hall is actually being sponsored by one of their Board of Supervisor members.
Excellent.
So we think we're getting some very solid movement in Trinity County. And October 7th, we are on the agenda for a presentation before the Plumas County Board of Supervisors.
That's a Tuesday.
That is a Tuesday.
Yeah, for those listening.
Yeah. And we are feeling very, very positive about the way the Plumas has caught on. It was almost like they were waiting for us. You know, it was more like, oh, it's about time you guys got here.
So, nice.
And then we're going to have some future presentations coming up in Lake County, mm-hmm. and that's looking very good.
And Colusa, too. I remember hearing something about Colusa.
I'm not sure the exact dates. I know we've got like four town halls coming up in Colusa.
Yeah. So, Terry Raposa, if you are listening right now, call in at 605-4567. They're not listening?
No.
What?
Nope, they're down in... that place that shall not be named. They're down in Sacramento.
Oh, family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we'll call it.
Okay, well, if anybody out there knows the actual dates for the October events, please call in at 605-4567.
Yes, or the message kids us forgot in the their cheat room. Sheet, everybody. Bail us out.
Yeah. I was too busy updating the website yesterday. I'm sorry.
Oh. But yeah, we have a plethora of town halls coming up in several different counties. And we're not done with Shasta County. We've been quiet for a while because we've had a lot on our plates with elections and helping in other counties and stuff. Yeah. But don't worry, boys and girls of Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah, we're coming back.
Yeah, again and again.
Remember us. Yeah.
So, and we do. We've gotten quite a bit back on our records requests, and we've got some things that are being looked at by some people, and... We think there's some interesting things coming after the election.
Yeah.
So, right around March. I think that's about when 90 days of a new term's up.
Oh, Robert.
Well, I'm sorry. It kind of irritated me.
Kind of?
A little.
So, I think it's like having a burr in your saddle.
Well, no, this is me irritated. You've never seen me mad. Me mad is like my underwear tied around my head in Indian war paint with a can of kerosene running around screaming, bring out your dead. That's me mad.
Clump, 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 clump. Oh, we're spicy this morning.
Yeah, we always are.
What's in your coffee?
Nothing, just regular coffee. The problem is I come in a good mood. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, going to do some radio and in good mood. And we start talking about all these things. I get a little bit madder. A little bit madder, a little bit more irritated.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, let's see. What else is California up to?
Oh, California.
Yeah.
When is California not up to something? Oh, California, Northern California, wildfires. Most of you know what has happened in Weed.
Yes.
And apparently donations have been coming in from around the country. Mm-hmm. So, wow. Thank you, everybody who does that. But if you do want to donate, I don't have any information on how to donate actual goods and food supplies, but I'm sure you can find that on the internet super easy. Just Google it. If you want to donate money, however, you can go to Tri-Counties Bank, U.S. Bank, or Scott Valley Bank, and they are taking donation for victims of the Bowles Fire.
Yeah, and so, for those that don't know, we'd lost over 110 houses.
That's 110 displaced families.
Their elementary school, their library, the mill, which
community
is the biggest
center.
Employer, the community center.
Yeah.
And it was all gone very, very rapidly. I mean, this was a extremely fast-moving fire. And, you know, I don't want to be seen as politicizing the tragedy, but again, mismanagement of our forests.
Yeah.
And it's costing us. We've lost well north of 100,000 acres this year up north in forest fires.
Well, I'm trying to think. The Happy Camp fire is 167,000.
Yeah. And then,
so we're up over 200,000, maybe even close to 300,000 acres.
Yeah. Wealth, your money, Jefferson, gone.
Up in smoke.
And, yeah, up in smoke, torched, wasted, devastated.
And the truth of the matter is if you lose the forest, yeah, that's ridiculously stupid. But when it affects people, I mean, these are 110 families with children going into winter, going into Christmas and Thanksgiving.
With nothing, though.
With nothing.
Yeah. Thank you, Sacramento.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people say, well, how do you blame a natural occurrence on Sacramento? Well, I will happily lay it right on their doorstep because it is their regulations.
Yeah.
It is their laws that are keeping us from managing our forests that are endangering us.
Yeah. Fires are natural. Catastrophic fires are not.
No.
Because once upon a time, you would have management of the forest with the roads to get into the specific areas that these fires start at. But when you close down those roads, firefighters and their engines can't get in there. So you have to send in your fire teams on foot. Do you think that's safer or more dangerous?
It's more dangerous.
I mean, come on.
Because if the fire backwhips on them,
then they're gone.
They can't get out.
Yeah. And they lost a couple fire trucks in that fire up in past Shingletown up in the Burney area because it came back on them.
Well, it's we are so dry.
Yes.
We're like tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have been doing these fuel reductions for so many years.
Decades.
And we, again, how much more are we going to take? How much longer are we going to sit on our hands and go, oh, well, that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I can't understand your mentality of not doing anything. Even if you don't agree with a state split, even if you don't agree with what Jefferson, how do you sit on your hands and watch
nothing.
Your fellow citizens get burned out? Watch your fellow citizens get choked off.
Yeah.
You know, their water seized, their homes burned.
Their cattle dying, their crops not growing.
This is war.
Yeah. This is a war on a livelihood.
This is economic and environmental warfare upon us.
It is. And somebody in the chat room just brought up, what do you think about the Board of Supervisors not airing their meetings anymore on TV? That's interesting.
Well, you know, disclosure is a bad thing. When people start to pay attention to what you're really doing and, you know, start to look, yeah, they don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay? And you need to pay attention to who is sitting in office, in your Board of Supervisors, and what they're really about. Not what they say to you for a couple of months during campaign season, then you stick your head back in the sand. Pay attention to them the entire time.
Yeah.
As an example, Pastor Lester Baugh, who just backed Kristen Schrader.
Are you kidding me?
No.
She's a pretty hardcore Democrat.
Well, I'm just wondering how a pastor backs a woman who donates thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to an abortion program.
Yeah.
How does that mix with your religious views, Pastor Baugh? I mean, who are you really?
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And that's one thing I really hate about campaign season. I've never liked campaign season. I wish I could bury my head in the sand, but I'm too curious a person to be able to do that. But I was going to go somewhere with this, and I totally just blanked.
Ah, that happens sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, derailment.
So. I'll remember that in a moment. I'll remember it after the break. Come back after the break.
And we still have our four tickets.
Yes.
605-45-67. Wake up, Jefferson.
Yes. Or you can visit us on the chat room at kcnr1460.com.
Thank you. This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hi, this is Sherry with the Good News Rescue Mission. And today, a young lady named Venus came into the mission, and she was so happy and even had tears in her eyes. And that wasn't her story not too long ago, because she came to the mission homeless, broken, afraid, alone. And today, through the help of those of you who support us and the programs of the Good News Rescue Mission, she, with a smile on her face, got a job and is going back to college. And her life has completely been restored. In her own words, she said, "The mission changed my life." Venus is just one of thousands whose lives have been transformed at the Good News Rescue Mission. To hear more stories like hers, or to make a donation and help be a part of that solution, or to refer somebody in need, go to our website at gnrm.org. That's for Good News Rescue Mission. Or check us out on Facebook. Become a part of the solution. That's the Good News Rescue Mission, gnrm.org.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, where we have the best music in the North State.
That's true. You can't go wrong with a little Eddie Van Halen.
You can't. You really can't.
I mean, the guy is kind of a guitar god.
Just a wee bit.
A little bit.
Just a wee bit. I remembered what I was going to say, and I know all of you hung on just to hear what I was going to say. But we were talking about campaign season and how people change, and how a lot of times they'll say what they want you to hear, and they'll cater to your specific tastes, and then they'll just ignore you for the next 2 or 4 years, depending on how long they're in office. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't just happen with those who are elected into office. That also occurs with individuals who have measures on the ballots. And things like that. I find it very interesting. I do commend the McConnell Foundation for their donation to One Safe Place, but the timing is suspect.
What timing?
The timing of their $1 million donation to One Safe Place to expand their bed space for individuals who've fallen on hard times.
Oh, yeah, that is a good thing.
That's a great thing, but the timing, why didn't they wait until October 15th?
You're not trying to suggest that they would influence a candidate that has some vested interest in One Safe Place, are you?
Well, that, or to show the community how much they care about the community. You know, because those ballots get mailed on October 2nd. So I might just be spitballing here, but it's suspect to me.
So you're trying to say that they're trying to indirectly influence Francie Sullivan?
They could be. They could. And the community at large with their whole Turtle Bay fiasco.
They could be.
Yeah.
You mean like if they were to do something like pay to renovate a baseball field, some guy that might change completely who he is as a person?
Yeah.
Really?
Similar. Yeah.
Similar. Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear that we're not clear.
Yes.
On what we're clear
we're
about.
We're unclearly clear about the clarity of this issue.
And in case it's confusing, McConnell bribes your elected officials in Reading. Pay attention.
But I do find it suspect. I do commend them for donating. That is a chunk of money. But I really wish that they would have waited until after the election so I could really say, you know what, you did the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because you want Turtle Bay.
Yeah, $1 million to bribe a city official, but they can't pay prevailing wages for local workers to build their hotel.
Again, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's just evil, because I am opposed to Turtle Bay for some weird reason. You know?
Yes, because you hate Turtle Bay, don't you?
Yes, because I'm uncultured and knuckle-dragging.
I really want to see you walk into, like, a McConnell board meeting and really
no, you
tell...
Don't.
Well, no, I probably don't want to see that.
No,
but if
don't.
if we you know, put like some sort of chip on your brain that kept you, you know, just talking about that hockey field that I really want you to bring in.
I do. I want to see an ice rink in Reading.
I really do too.
I do.
Ever since you brought that up, I'm like, I want an ice rink.
Yeah, I want to go where it's 32 degrees when it's 110
yes.
out and watch some hockey or go ice skating or take my kids ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that would be so much fun.
Yeah. And Reading, I'm telling you, I just trust me on this. You are a hockey town. You would love this sport.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay attention to it.
And okay. I still want to see Board of Supervisors versus City Council. And make it a fight to the death.
I don't know if we can get away with that. So. Wow, like blood sport on ice?
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
So.
We do still have 4 tickets. Come on, guys. I know that it's the opening day of deer season.
It is.
So, I mean, it's almost 9 o'clock. Y'all mm-hmm. should be getting back to your trucks and everything.
Enjoy
Call
your
in.
Last season shooting a deer with lead bullets.
Oh, it is? Because that goes
it
in
is.
Effect January 1st.
Yeah. That it is your last season to shoot a deer with lead.
So when you do, you know, pull, you know, like, you know, I killed you with lead and be proud of it. Take pictures because your children will never know what that's like unless you create the state of Jefferson because we here have common sense and know that birds do not
get
lead poisoning.
Yeah, we'll let you shoot them with whatever
bullets.
You want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Savages that we are.
Yes.
Vicious barbarians.
Yes. Yeah,
just horrible. So. Yeah.
Phone call. We did it. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, it is. It's fascinating, just the differences between people.
Yeah.
You know, and I do. I attempt to respect other views. But
attempt.
Just, but there becomes a point in the conversation where you just have to look at somebody and go, you're a moron.
Go you, away.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So.
We do have a callie. A callie? Mm. We have a caller.
Wow. First day of our new tongues?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm starting to feel a little better day by day.
That's good.
You guys are doing a great job, by the way, and really appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll try to pitch in as I'm able. But I could use one ticket for the motorcycle thing tonight. I think I can.
No, Jeff. You have to take at least 2 and take a date with you.
Well, you know I don't learn how to play well with other children.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, I'll take 2. I'll maybe find a sucker somewhere.
There you go. Okay. You
all
have
right,
two
we got
tickets.
2 tickets with your name on it, so you have to stop by the station here before 6 to pick them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, will do.
All right, you
all
have
right.
fun.
Have a fun time at the races.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. We still have 2 tickets left. Who
we
wants
do.
To go?
We do.
I would, but I'm not taking Hunter to motorcycle racing. He might end up on a bike.
It's going to happen one day.
I know
your husband.
I'm totally okay with him ending up on a bike, just as long as, you know, he's not a year and a half and running out there when they're racing.
Well,
because that's the kind of kid he is.
Yeah. I wouldn't ride it.
Oh, man.
Well, that's the best way to do it. You know, I remember my uncle and his dirt bike and all his friends. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a little kid, and I'd stand on this chair at the windowsill, and they'd go off, and I'd sit there, and my grandma tells me, you know, I remember I'd shift and everything.
Oh, that's adorable. Oh,
it was. It was fantastic. I mean, and I did. I grew up riding dirt bikes and doing stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we've taken Hunter on a quad several times, and he just sits there holding on to the handlebar, just, you know, mouth open, eyes wide, his hair blowing in the wind, and he's just having a great, great time.
Yeah, it is. It's a way of life, and that's you know kind of what I was getting at earlier. It's just a tale of two worlds. You know, I don't understand, you know, latte enemas. They don't understand deer hunting. it's just different. You know, and that's not a bad thing.
It's that diversity that makes America great. But you can't try and kill one culture off and assimilate everybody into the other one.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
I mean, to us, you cutting off our water supply is like us telling you can't have Starbucks. It wouldn't go over well. It's not going over well here. And, you know, we got to keep our head down. We got to keep on fighting. We are winning, Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen.
We're taking it back slowly.
You know, you remember a year ago and they told us, well, you'll never go anywhere. This will never turn into anything. And now we're taking calls from other states. Hey, how do we do this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's even states that may not even need a state split, but they understand that they have to restore their representation
to the federal model. I was doing a speech, I guess you could call it, on Wednesday with a group here in Reading. And when I really got onto the representation, you saw the light bulbs just go on. Mm-hmm. And they went, oh, my God. You mean we aren't represented? You mean this isn't the way it's supposed to be? And it's like,
no.
Exactly. This is not the federal Republican form of government.
Yeah, this is broken.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see how many people really, even how politically influential they are, even how informed they think they are, it doesn't make a difference unless you actually have a voice.
Yeah.
And they didn't have it. And they realized that on Wednesday. So I look forward to more involvement from that particular group because...
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I think that group we will get more out of.
I hope so.
I think so.
I do. I hope so. And we've got to have our voice. I mean, all of these things that we complain about, all of these things that we're upset about here, we can't do anything about it without representation.
Yeah.
You know, we've got two guys in the Senate and three guys in the Assembly fighting for us, and they're fighting hard for us, but they can't do it by themselves.
Yeah.
And if we're going to sit on our hands and give them no help, what right do we have to get mad at them because we're getting run over like a high-speed train?
Exactly.
You know, these guys are doing everything they can within their power. And if we're not willing to stand up and fix our model of government to give them the help that we need, you have no right to get mad at them.
Well, that's the, you know, like when people complain about who's in office and you go, who'd you vote for? Or did you even vote?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, no. Well, then why are you complaining?
Yeah, then
shut up and go vote.
Yeah, shut up.
Okay, get off the couch. Here's the thing. You can vote from the couch.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get off the couch. You can vote from there.
I have no problem giving our elected officials hell because I've earned a right because I'm fighting.
You really?
Yes, me. Every once in a while, you know, I just kind of get angry. But I feel that I've earned the right to say things about our elected officials because I'm engaged. I'm informed. I'm in the fight. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you have to earn the right. I really feel that way. And if you won't even get up to vote, if you won't get up to educate yourself to the truth, if you're not smart enough to listen to a talking point and then go research it and make sure that it's true, you don't have a right.
Yeah, and if you want to know about talking points, all I have to do is watch the national media and President Obama and really get those talking points. By the way, he is sending 3,000 troops of our soldiers, mm-hmm. Americans, to fight Ebola.
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 Ebolae.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that won't bring the disease
home
back faster.
Yeah.
Like I was coming to Jeff last night, I was like, the thing that I don't understand is the military bases are like preschools. One kid gets it, they all got it.
Mm-hmm.
Period end of story.
It is.
So that's 9,000 potential people that are going to get infected because those soldiers do go home too.
Well, they're not having a lot of luck containing that epidemic.
Yeah.
At all. And, you know, I know what government protocol used to be.
Get away.
You terminated the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's barbaric thinking, you know, and kind of primitive thought.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had terminated this thing the way that they should have at the beginning, how many lives would have been saved?
And talk about that again.
A little cold-blooded and calculated, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't think there's any good solution. But another hour has come and gone, and I don't have any quotes from the right Francis Lee. I got a lot of sports quotes, but I really don't think that Mr. Lee did sports quotes back then.
No.
So I opted for a couple quotes from Robert E. Lee. And he said on March 6, 1864, "I think it better to do right, even if we suffer in so doing, than to incur the reproach of our consciences and posterity." So go out and do your duty in all things. You cannot do more, and you should never wish to do less.
Hmm. I like that.
I like that, too. So as you go out, remember, this is the Jefferson State of Mind. There will be information on our website about that first annual State of Jefferson Clay Tournament on November the 15th. If you want to get involved, you have until October 30th. Mm-hmm. But we'll be back. Well, Robert will be back next week. I'll be at Hawes. Come support Savory and Acting because it's super fun.
Yeah, I'll probably be out there checking it out. Awesome. Have a good weekend, Jefferson. Enjoy it.
Bye.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Secret Service is promising a thorough review of the White House security breach in which a man climbed a fence and made it inside the front door before being caught. Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah, meanwhile, says the breach is unacceptable and that the Secret Service is failing to do its job. Meanwhile, sound of refugees from Syria today, mostly of Kurdish ethnicity, fleeing the rising and ongoing violence from the Islamic State militant group. And that was the focus of President Obama's weekly radio and internet address.
This isn't America versus ISIL. This is the people of that region versus ISIL.
GOP Congressman Cory Gardner spoke to the GOP this week. He said it's time for Senate Democrats to act on jobs-creating bills approved by House Republicans.
For too long, this administration and Democrats in the Senate have obstructed policies that will get Americans back to work. They would have us believe that high unemployment and declining salaries are the new normal. That